Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I want to read you a few verses. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Look with me in verse number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 3. The Bible says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Why do we have a lively hope today? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why. He went on to say in verse number 4, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." That fadeth not away. As time goes on, things fade away. I don't mean this ugly, but it's with some, as time goes on, their hair fades away. Some, as time goes on, different things happen in their life. Our vehicle, Brother Craig's back there feeling of his head this morning, but our vehicle, the paint will fade on it. If you look at this Bible this morning, there is some faded places on this Bible that I've had this Bible for years, and I put it up, and just recently I've got it back out because it's got so many notes in it and started using it again. But here's what the Bible said. When it talks about heaven, it fadeth not away. In other words, the way it was is the way that it'll always be. Amen. He goes on to say this, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last days, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold," watch this, "temptations." You know what that word temptations means right there? It means trials. And here's what he's saying to us. He's saying, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." But what is that trial? It's for a season. This too, I remember my dad for years saying this right here. The Bible says this too shall come to pass. And you know what? That trial that we're in today, that heartache that we're facing today, it will come to pass one day. Job said this, "All the appointed days of my life will I wait until my change comes." Job knew that a change was coming in his life one day. Listen to what he said in verse number 7, "That the trial of your faith be much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice," here it is, "with joy unspeakable and full of glory." You say, "Well, preacher, how can a man have joy unspeakable and full of glory in the days that we're living in?" Well, if you go to the verses prior to that and you hear about an incorruptible place that we're headed to, a place that fadeth not away, when we realize that our hope is not in this world, our joy is not in this world, our peace is not in this world, but our peace is in something a lot better than this world. Matter of fact, the songwriter said it this way, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blues." Numerous times Paul refers to himself as an ambassador for Christ. What is that? That is a representative of a foreign country. And that's what we are today. If we're saved by the grace of God, we're a representative of a foreign country. And you know what I have found out in studying that ambassador? Before it gets too bad and before the war breaks out, you know what they do with that ambassador? They get them out and take them to a safe place. And before it gets too bad and before it gets too chaotic, you know what God's going to do to us as the saved children of God? We're getting out of here. So when we think about that, can I say this? That excites me today. It excites me to know that there is a heaven to gain the day. It excites me to know that there is a Savior that loved me enough to give His life to die for my sins. I'm still excited about those things today. I read through this, and I used to outline a whole lot different than I do now. Years ago, I didn't write hardly nothing down. I mean, that's all of it. And now, if I was to redo that outline, it would be 7 or 8 pages probably. But I read through some of it, and here's what it said. I remember growing up in camp meetings across America, and when it would get on, my dad would just go, shoo. That's what daddy would do. There's not many times I've seen my daddy just have a shouting fit, but he would go, shoo. That's what daddy does. My mama just cries. Some people will stand up and shout. Some people will run the aisles. I've seen them run the backs of the pews before. I've seen them run out the doors. I've seen them run into the doors. Was y'all in Georgia with us when that happened that time? I did. I seen a guy run. He come running across. It was a great old big building, Brother Brian. And he thought the door, it had one of those panic bars on it. And he thought it was just unlocked. But you got to hit the panic bar to get it to unlock. And the first thing that hit the door was his nose right there. And he fell back. And then he took off again and run right into it again. And it was hilarious. I couldn't help. I about had to leave the building. I got so tickled. But man, daddy would just go, shoo. I thought about, I've got this wrote down. Brother Frank, when he gets excited. And whenever I read that, my mind went back years ago. There was an older gentleman that went to Northwood. And man, when he would get excited, when God would begin to move, man, he'd get to crying and squalling, and he would cry out loud. And he'd get to shouting. Boy, he was excited about what God done for it. You ever seen people stand up and say, I just want to thank the Lord, and then sit back down? You know what they was doing? They was showing joy unspeakable and full of glory. They was excited about what God done for them. I thought about this, you know, in the day that we live, so many people, they walk around with their heads down and they're discouraged and depression's about at an all-time high. But hear me and hear me well, as the children of God, things has never looked any better for us. The Bible is proving itself true right in front of our eyes, and we should be excited about that. Here's what I wrote down. Here's what I wrote down. Man, this is simple, and this is topical, they wouldn't pass me in hermeneutics and homiletics in Bible college on this outline, but here's what I wrote down. Number one, I'm still excited about sinners getting saved. I'm still excited about people. There's nothing no greater in this world than to take your Bible and lead somebody to the Lord and see them get saved. I've never got over seeing somebody get saved by the grace of God. I'm still excited that people is getting saved through the preaching of God's Word. I love to read our mission letters. I love to go over our mission letters. And you know what it does? It excites me. Because through world missions, we're able to see people saved through Amazing Grace Baptist Church. Here's what I wrote down, and the reason that I knew I was still in Rock of Ages was because of what I wrote down. I said, I'm still excited about seeing sinners get saved in the pews here at the church house. I'm still excited about seeing sinners get saved in the prisons. And you know what? I still am. I understand they may have done wrong, but we've all done wrong. There's none good, no, not one. And you know what? They deserve to hear about a God that loves them and a God that saved them. I may not agree with what they done, and I promise you there's a lot that I don't agree with what they done, but God still loved them. And matter of fact, God said this, he that is without sin, let him cast the first. I'm still excited. When Brother Jeff calls and says, preacher, we had 25 saved at the prison house, it excites me. But then I thought about this. I'm excited about those getting saved in the pews. I'm excited about those getting saved in the prisons. I'm excited about those getting saved at the public schools. Back then, we worked in the public schools all the time. We was in and out of public schools all the time. And you know what? It excites me when Brother Jeremiah calls me and says, "Hey, man, I was down at such and such school, and God opened the door, and I was able to witness to this one, and they got saved by the grace of God." It excites me. You know what? Brother Jeremiah's not been able to go in person. He's still doing a lot of things online right now with the schools. But we have missionaries out of our church every day in the school system. You say, "We do?" Absolutely. It's the teachers that come to our church. It's the students that come to our church. Anywhere that they're at in that school, they can talk about the Lord. And thank God there's still people getting saved. I'm still excited about people getting saved, but can I say this? I'm not only excited about the sinners that are getting saved, I'm still excited about the salvation of my own soul. I'm still excited that God loved me enough. Oh, yes, good neighbor. I'm still excited that God loved me enough to give His only begotten Son to die for my sins. I wasn't worthy of that. You wasn't worthy of that. And you might as well nod your head up and down right there. We wasn't worthy of that. We don't deserve the goodness of God. We don't deserve the grace of God. We don't deserve the mercies of God. But God, in His loving kindness, looked down through the scope of time and saw our sin-sick condition and said, "I'll send my Son to die for there." I'm still excited about the salvation of my soul. I'm thankful today that I am saved by the blood of Christ. I'm thankful for that today. I don't ever want to get over being saved. I never want to get over that. You said, "Well, preacher, I it just ain't much to me anymore." You ain't got what I've got. You ain't got what I've got, man, because it's still over 25 years later, it's still a big deal to me that God loved me enough to save my soul. God loved me enough. I want to ask you this morning, are you still excited about being saved? Are you still thankful that God loved you and that God gave His Son for you? I'm excited about the salvation of my soul. I wrote this down. It took the blood of Jesus to do that. Then I wrote down underneath that, it's precious blood, it's pure blood, it's priceless blood, and it's powerful blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm still excited that I'm saved this morning. I'm glad that I don't have to go to hell. Somebody asked me the other day, "Why did you get saved?" I said, "What do you mean, why did I get saved?" They said, "Why did you ask the Lord to save you? Why did you want to get saved?" Here's what I responded. I didn't want to go to hell. That's why I got saved. That's exactly why I got saved. Thank God. I was thinking about this past week. I make reference to this a lot, but I love that app, Time Shop. Yesterday it came up when some of us went ice skating and back years ago here at the church. And this morning, Brother Joe, it came up 6 years ago today. We was building a ramp for Dakota Queen's daddy. He had cancer then. It came up today that 6 years ago is a picture of you giving Dakota Queen's daddy a Bible and talking to him come up on my phone. But over the past week or so, that revival of 2016 in January when Brother Craig got saved in it, those memories has come up in my phone. And can I just say this to you today? I'm still excited that I'm saved. Number three this morning, preacher, why are you still excited? Well, I would say this. I'm still excited about the Savior that I serve. I'm still excited about the Savior. Anybody ever had a boss that you just didn't think much of? Brother Greg, don't raise your hand. Anybody ever had a boss that you didn't think much of? Miss Tammy raised her hand. I didn't. It's funny. We've got the chain of command setting there today. But anyway, you didn't think much of. We've all had them. We've all had them. To be honest, I had one when I worked at Kaplan School Supplies, and I just didn't think much of that feller. But can I say something? When it comes to my Heavenly Father, when it comes to my Savior, when it comes to, if you want to put it this way, my boss man and my spirituality, I've never been disappointed in Him. I've never been disappointed in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's been a lot of times, honey, he's been disappointed in me. There's been a lot of times that I failed him. I fail him on a daily basis. But I'm still excited that I get to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm still excited that I get to serve the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I'm still excited about the Savior that I serve. I thought about this. I'm excited because of his righteousness. Our righteousness was as filthy rags, but because of his righteousness, we now have access to the throne of grace. I'm still excited about his restoration. Psalms 23 says, "The Lord restoreth my soul." There's been times that I needed him to restore my soul. I'll not go into all the depths of it, but Wednesday morning I needed the Lord to restore my soul. I wasn't lost again. I was still saved. I was still serving the Lord. But I just needed a breath from heaven. I'm telling you, I needed God to help me with some things. And I'll never forget, we always, in our Wednesday morning devotions, we have them in a different location. But this past Wednesday morning, we had to move them to a different classroom. We walked in that classroom and there was a verse of scripture wrote on the board. I talked about it a little bit in that video the other day, but there was a verse of scripture wrote on that board. And I asked Lieutenant Burr, I said, "Man, did you put that up there?" He said, "Man, I ain't got a clue who put that up there." He said, "But it's a good verse, isn't it?" And I said, "Man, you just don't know how much I needed that." You know what that was? That was God giving us exactly what we need. There's never been a time that I asked God to help me that God hasn't helped me. I'm still thankful for his restoration. You get your eyes on this world, I promise you, you'll go crazy. You get your eyes on what's happening in this world today, and you say, "Preacher, what's going to happen the next few days?" I don't have a clue what's going to happen. It depends on who you listen to. If you're a conspiracist, well, you're probably worried sick right now. It just depends on who you're watching. So I don't know, but here's what I do know, that the Lord said, referring to the Lord, "I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." God's always took care of us, and if you'll spend as much time in this book as you do with the news media, your soul will be restored this morning. I'm excited about his restoration. I'm excited about his riches. His riches, what did he say in Philippians 4? He said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory." You know what? I'm not saying the righteous forsaken. I've already said that. God's riches this morning. You know, let me tell you the reason we have on what we have on today, because of God's riches. You say, "Well, nope, it's because I bought it." Well, I didn't buy this. The church bought this last year. Not last year, the year before that, the 19 year. We're in 21 now. The 19 year, that sounds real correct, doesn't it? In 2019, the church purchased this, okay? But you know, let me tell you the reason they was able to purchase it, because God blessed the church. Let me tell you the reason you're living in the home that you live in today, because the Savior blessed you. Let me tell you the reason you have the job that you have today. It wasn't coincidental. It wasn't just because you've done a good job at what you've done before. It's because God looked after you and God took care of you. It's his riches that we get. Amen. That we get to enjoy. Leslie and I got our paper, showed how much we give to the church this past year. And if you've not got yours, you let Miss Stephanie know. I know she's mailed some of them. She's given some of them out. And if you've not got yours, you let her know and she'll get it to you. But I was thinking about what we gave to the church last year. And it just absolutely blowed my mind. I really thought to myself, where did that even come from? Let me tell you where it came from. It come from the hand of God into my hand, so I could give it to the hand of the church to help keep the lights on at the church house, to help keep the missionary on the field. I was absolutely blown away. And can I just say, Lord, let us give more to the church last year than we ever have in the time that we've been here. All of it was because of the riches of God. It's not us. It's what God can do through. I got to go. It's what God can do through us. I'm still excited about his riches. Not because he makes me rich, but because he blesses me the way that he does. If you want, I double dog dare you to do this. I double dog dare you to tithe faithfully to God and to give to Faith Promise Missions and see what happens. Try it for a year and see what happens. I hadn't missed it. Lord was better to us last year. And here's the odd thing about that. I preached less in 2020 than I have since, I know since I've been here. I usually preach a lot of meetings. And you know what? In 2020, that just didn't happen. And we're usually able to give a lot because a lot more because of the meetings that I preach in. We give a certain part of that to our church and to world missions. And you know what? The income side of that was the lowest that it had ever been since we had been married. But you know what? The outgo side of that was the highest that it had ever been. I'm just saying this to you this morning. I wish you'd get a hold of what I'm saying. If you give to God, God will take care of you. His riches. I'm still excited about that. I thought about this. I'm still excited about his resurrection this morning. The Savior that I serve, his resurrection. I'm glad that I don't serve a dead God today. I serve a God that's alive and well, sitting on the throne of glory, in all of his power and all of his glory, like he always been. Preacher, what are you excited about? Well, I'm excited about the sinners that's getting saved. I'm excited about the salvation of my soul. I'm excited about the Savior that I serve. But can I say this in closing? I'm excited about the second coming that's soon. I'm excited about the second coming that's soon. I thought about this. Come start playing something softly, if you will, Madeline. I thought about this. I've been preaching that now. I started preaching when I was 18 and I'm 42, so what's that? 24, 25 years, something other like that. And I think I'm 42. Ain't I 42? Yeah, I'm 42 because Tina's 47 and I knew I was a few years behind her. She's 43. I'll give her age out. But anyway, no, you're 44, aren't you? She, I heard her through her mask that time. But I thought about this. I've been preaching the Lord's coming for over 20 years. Brother Greg sitting back there, his daddy preached it for 30, 40 years. Brother Greg, how long was your dad a preacher? Long time. And you know, my dad's been preaching over 40 years. And they've been preaching the Lord's coming back. But can I say something to you? We're 40 years closer than we was. And I want to say something. You read this book right here. And what's happening in the world is lining up. This thing's getting lined up for a one world order. China and Russia, they're saying now, is stronger than they've ever been. You study prophecy. You study what's happening. America's not mentioned in prophecy. It's not there. So why is it not there? Well, I can't help but to wonder before it's all said and done if it don't crumble within itself. Pride goeth for destruction and the haughty spirit before the fall. I don't know everything that's going to happen over the next little bit, but I do know this much. I believe the second coming of the Lord's at hand. I believe the Lord coming back, the rapture of the church, is right here at us. I wrote this down. Here's the reason I'm excited about that. Are you ready? This is deep. Here's the reason I'm excited about that. I see the saints that I miss. I see the saints that I miss. Boy, I thought about that. I sit back there in my office and I read through this the other day and I thought, man, the ones that I miss, the ones that went home to be with the Lord that sat on these pews over the past 14 years that I've had the privilege to pastor and do their homegoing services. Many of them now has outrun us. And I'm glad that I'll get to see them again. I went over to Brother Brian's and Miss Tina's this past Tuesday. Yeah, it's this past Tuesday. It's after Bible college, and we was talking about some different things, and they was showing me some furniture that they had got, and when we walked in that room, Brother Brian's made a music wall, is what I call it. I don't know what they call it, but it's got different instruments hanging up on it. And I seen Brother Danny's guitar hanging up there, and I guess, I think we come to the conclusion the last time that he sang much and played the guitar was right here, and we sung What a Day That'll Be with him, and I seen that hanging up, and I thought, man, I can't wait to see Brother Danny again. That's Miss Tina's dad. I can't wait to see him again, and I can't help but to think about Miss Myra. Boy, I miss her so bad. I really do. It didn't matter how bad things got, I could always look back. She had a smile on her face. It didn't matter how bad it got. It didn't matter what was happening in society. It didn't matter how rough I preached. I could look back and she'd smile at me. I thank God I'll see her again one day. I thought about I'll see the saints that I miss. I'll see Satan as he's cast into hell. That'd be a good day. All the trouble he's caused us, and it'd be a real good day to see him cast into hell. I thought about this. I see the sights of heaven. Man, as you read through the book of Revelations and it describes those gates of pearl and streets of gold and the crystal river of life, describes the throne of God. Now I thought about this. I see the Savior that I serve. Boy, it'd be a real good day. Now for over 25 years, I've saw him through the eye of faith. There's coming a day my faith's going to end. You say your faith's going to end. When you see something in reality, it's no longer by faith. Early this morning, I stood in here and prayed. And by faith, I was preparing to preach to somebody. And you know what? When you walked in and sat down, it was no longer faith. You're here now. I see you. There's coming a day that my faith for the Lord Jesus Christ will end. I'll leave this sin cursed world, either by the way of the grave or by the way of the coming of the Lord. Oh, yeah, and we'll step out around the throne of God, and we'll get to see He who loved us and gave Himself for us. Even though times are trying, even though it's a different day, even though it seems that the world's absolutely lost their mind, I've come to this conclusion, there's still some things that I'm excited about. I'm still excited about the church house. Boy, I love church house. It's just something about the church. I need church. I need to see people at church. I need the fellowship of church people. I'm just still excited. I'm excited about you. I'm excited about the Lord. And we don't have to walk around with our head hung down. We're a child of God, headed to a far better place. I'm still excited.